Welcome to the first episode of Swishin' and Dishin' with Caleb. I am so glad to be here with y'all today. This is going to be a basketball channel and relating to all the NBA news around the league. I'll try to post as much as possible. And here we go. Let's get into our first topic. The All-Star rosters. First, I'm going to start off with the West. If you don't remember or don't know yet, the West starters are Stephen Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Paul George, and James Harden. The reserves have not been picked yet, which is why I'm here to dive in and give you my take on who I think should be the reserves. Since this All-Star game has been played as a positionless game, I only got two big guys in there. And first off, from New Orleans, you already know, Anthony Davis, who I personally think should be starting over Paul George, but because he's having career highs in almost everything. So I give him his nod. And the man from Denver, the Joker, Nikola Jokic, he's a Westbrook, but 7 foot, a walking triple-double. Best passer for a big man. He's amazing. I think he could have made it last year, but this year he's definitely going to make it. And his team is winning, which they did not do last year. Or they were game out of the playoffs, but not good enough. I feel so bad to say this, but I only have one other Warrior, Klay Thompson. Draymond Green, I always tell people he was underappreciated, and he was always an All-Star pick for me. He was the heart that drove that Golden State Warriors team, but he is not on this list for this year because I can't throw away the fact that he can't score the ball. I mean, he can't shoot, and you could say, oh, Ben Simmons can shoot, but he can still score at a decent rate. Draymond Green, he's not scoring. And although he has been very good of late with his assists, and he is also almost walking triple-double. Well, not anymore, but he used to. I feel so bad doing this, but Klay Thompson is the last Warrior on my list. This man has also been doing very bad shooting, but the fact that he's the second best player on the winning team, or this year, opposed to Draymond Green being the fourth, or maybe now fifth with Boogie, Westbrook, who is also, in fact, averaging at this point a triple-double in his third straight season. And this time, it's contributing to winning. In the past 2 years, my critique about his averaging triple-double was they could make it to the playoffs, but they couldn't get past the first round. This year, he is averaging a triple-double. He's taking less shots. Even though his efficiency is very bad this year, he's letting Paul George do the work, and he's still getting a triple-double. And people are ignoring the fact that he's getting a triple-double, and he's contributing to the winning. Damian Lillard from Portland, he's almost a lock now. It used to be, he was snubbed, but now people will never overlook his game and what he's doing for the Blazers, making it to the playoffs every year. But hopefully they can get past the first round this year. This might have been the toughest decision of the whole segment. I had to choose between DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge because the Spurs have been, I can't say amazing because that's the Warriors, but very good. And they're playing amazing. They were the worst defensive team, and they've been picking it up. And DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge both have been doing amazing. But I'm going to give it to DeMar DeRozan, give him the nod, because LaMarcus Aldridge, he knew it was going to be this season. He was already under Popovich's system. But DeMar DeRozan becoming so, I don't know how to say it, so good for DeMar, for Pop's system. I mean, I wouldn't say he's as good as Kawhi for the Spurs, but he's He's almost there. Actually, we'll see in the playoffs if he's almost there. But right now, he's really doing it for the Spurs. And my last spot, this might have been, this is not as hard as DeRozan. This actually might have been as hard as the DeRozan, Mark Sargent. There are a few candidates for the last pick that it was super tough. First, I'm going to give a few, and then I'm going to narrow it to my top two and why I chose the one. So we have Tobias Harris from the Clippers, Donovan Mitchell from the Jazz, the Kings, we have Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox, and from the Timberwolves, we have Karl-Anthony Towns. I'm going to narrow it to my top two for the last spot, Donovan Mitchell and Cat. My number one pick for this last spot was Donovan Mitchell. And before you start hating and before you leave the set, or not the set, this podcast, here's why. Yes, Cat has been on a tear without Jimmy Butler, but there's one thing that he hasn't been doing without Jimmy Butler, and that's winning. And which is Donovan Mitchell, he has lifted and elevated this Jazz team in play and spirit. This team was bottom five team in the West. And then him, along with Quinn Snyder, who's been an amazing coach this past few weeks, has elevated this team and this player. His skills was elevated. And that is why I am going to pick Donovan Mitchell. All you Cat fans, Timberwolves fans, I'm sorry. Hopefully you understand why. Now we're going to go on to the East. Let's see. The East starters: Kemba Walker, Kyrie Irving, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kawhi Leonard, and Joel Embiid. My East reserves were very hard, especially because I was running out of picks because the East has been pretty poor this year. I'm just going to say right now, I am not putting Oladipo on this list because He's not going to play, and he's out for the rest of the season. My first reserve, although his team is not winning as I thought it would be, Blake Griffin. He has been on a tear. This is his greatest season ever. Him and Dwayne Casey are working well, although the team hasn't really been the way they want it to be. I have two Sixers on this list of reserves. I have one who's a lock. I think Ben Simmons is a lock. Although he still can't shoot, he's playing point guard for a winning team, and that's what I like, and you'll see how that theme plays into this a few times. And then Jimmy Butler, who will probably make it, but this is my reason why I don't think he's a lock, a complete lock, because one, this might have to do with anything for the coaches who decide this, but he spent some time in the West, but that's not my main reason. My main reason is his stats have dropped when he came to the Sixers. And yes, you're saying that, Joel Embiid is the number one. But Jimmy Butler might be the number three on that team because Ben Simmons has really been playing well this year. And also, as my dad being a Sixers fan, and I see him watching a lot of them games, and I come and watch with him, when Jimmy Butler's on the floor until the last 2 seconds of the game, it doesn't seem right. He's not meshing. Although he is scoring 18 a game with them, he's not meshing with this team. And that's what, I feel like it looks weird when I see Jimmy Butler in a Sixers uniform on the court. So that's why he's not a lock, but he probably will make it. Another point guard of a winning team. The Raptors, Kyle Lowry. Although his stats have dropped, and this is a player stats lie. His efficiency, although there's a stat, but his efficiency is great. Now, his facilitation with Kawhi Leonard and Pascal Siakam and Nick Nurse, who personally might be my coach of the year, or Mike Malone is still deciding. Kyle Lowry, his facilitation has been amazing this year, and the way he's playing alongside Kawhi Leonard, if he start that team, team to look out for. Although Kyle Lowry does, I think, personally need to shoot the ball more because he's one of the best shooters we have in this game. Still, great facilitation, and he's doing what Russell Westbrook is. He might be doing it too much, but he's allowing Kawhi to be the MVP candidate he is and allowing Kawhi to put up these career highs. My next player, who has actually risen this team after their number one player went down, and this player might be the number one player on this team now that I think about it, Bradley Beal. When John Wall got injured, everyone was like, the Wizards are done. But Bradley Beal has made the Wizards play better than they are, that they have been playing the whole season. And Bradley Beal is putting up great numbers, 23 a game. And this team, I want to compare him to like Nick Foles and the Eagles. John Wall, Carson Wentz, they probably are the best quarterback or the best player. But Bradley Beal and Nick Foles, they are the guy who the players get spirit and build around with. That sounded weird. Bradley Beal and Nick Foles are like, they're the player's guy and they're the coach's guy. They built the team, forms around them when the number one option goes down and they start winning. They still are a few games out of the playoffs, but let's see what Beal Magic can do. And I think that Bradley Beal could have a case of being a starter over Kemba Walker. Don't get me wrong, Kemba, cardiac Kemba all over again. But the only reason I would say Kemba deserves it more than Bradley Beal is because his team is winning. I'm about to say three or four players. There's two more spots left. I'm about to say three or four players who could grab those two spots. I'm going to narrow it down to my top two players who I think will end up making it. Andre Drummond, he is the new round mound of rebound. He grabs 15 a game, puts up 15. He's a walking double-double. I love it. But I don't think he's going to cut the top. D-Wade, just because, you know, he's D-Wade, I want to give him the credit that he deserves for his whole career. But if it was just fans voting, D-Wade would have made it. But the media and players want the best, so these are my top two picks for the last two spots. First one, Nick Vucevic. He's gone under everyone's radar. He's balling. Although the Magic are in the 11th seed in the East, he's a walking double-double, 20 and 10. He could pass the ball, and he's really going to get his money when he comes to free agency. And this last pick, this is the most controversial pick in the whole list. And he's part of one of the next segments I'm going to do. But it's D'Angelo Russell. Him and the Nets have been balling. Balling. I credit D'Angelo Russell, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Kenny Atkinson. But it's D'Angelo Russell who's a player to be reckoned with. And he's really come alive on the scene. I'll talk more about the Nets in a few segments. But D'Angelo Russell, kudos to him and the Nets. Brooklyn, they go. I've been to a couple Brooklyn games. They go hard. That's their motto. They go hard. They do go hard. They used to be the laughingstock of the NBA. Now, D'Lo, Spencer Dinwiddie, Kenny Atkinson, they're leading this team. So, my next topic is going to be about how LeBron's return is going to affect the Lakers. The Lakers right now are one and a half games back of the eighth seed. I'm going to be honest with you. I think the most they're going to get up to is a seventh seed because that LeBron James injury that was all worse than we thought it was going to be has really bring them down from 4-9. I think the team to catch is the Clippers because right now this is filmed before the Lakers-Sixers game. They are a game and a half behind the Clippers. I think the Jazz, they are playing too good a ball to be losing. I mean, they recently just beat the Nuggets. I thought that was when the Lakers were going to come back and try to grab that 8 seed when they were still there. But they beat the Nuggets and elevated to the 7 seed. The thing is, the Clippers, the reason I think they're going to drop is because they were at the number 1 seed, but they've been dropping and dropping. So I think once LeBron comes, and they say LeBron's going to come back, they say he can come back on Thursday against the Clippers. So if they get a win against Philly and a win against the Clippers, they'll grab the 8 seed, or they'll be tied for the 8 seed with the Lakers. With the Clippers, I mean, sorry. And then I want to talk about the possibilities of LeBron and Anthony Davis and the Lakers would need to give up to get him. Reportedly by Lakers Nation, the Pelicans want Vita Zubac, who has arisen on the scene as a young center who should get paid. Not giant, but he deserves more than a minimum. Kyle Kuzma, Lonzo Ball, and a first rounder for Anthony Davis. The thing, if I were the Lakers, I would want to put Brandon Ingram in and replace Lonzo Ball. And obviously, I would want Kuzma to stay, but there's no way the Pelicans would trade Anthony Davis without Kuzma. And then, if the Lakers can't replace Ball for Ingram in the trade, I would try to add a third team. So put Brandon Ingram in, and you can gain a player from the Pelicans or the other team that would be in the trade. And it could be a team like Memphis, and the Lakers could grab Mike Conley. And if LeBron and the Brow join the Lakers, LeBron's already on the Lakers. If Anthony Davis joins the Lakers, I think that they will, as Stephen A. Smith predicted at the beginning of the season. Doesn't look that way right now. But if they can get Anthony Davis, I believe that they will be playing in the Western Conference Finals against the Warriors if they don't play them in the rounds before it. And even if they do play the Warriors before that, it's going to be a fight. That's going to be a great matchup. So now I'm going to talk about the Nets and what they've really done to impress me. At the beginning of the season, Nets-Knicks, first game, or second game of their season, I saw something in New York Times where Kenny Atkinson and David Fizdale wanted to be competitive rivals again. Not them, like, personally, but, like, the teams. The Nets have lived up to that. The Knicks have not. The Nets are balling. They're winning, and they got two players who have been doing it and lifting them spiritually and on the court. Not spiritually, like, I don't know how to say it. Like, how do I say it? Yeah, spiritually, like, off the court, like, their power off the court that they have with each other. D'Angelo Russell, who I said before earlier in the show, it could possibly is an all-star for me. And when the Lakers traded him, he was young. He was reckless. But now he's playing with – he's the king of the fourth quarter along with Damian Lillard. He's got ice in his veins. And Spencer Dinwiddie has been amazing off the bench. Although he's getting surgery on his right thumb and is about to be injured 3 to 6 weeks, he has been a spark off the bench for this team. D'Angelo Russell averaging 19, 3 and 6, and Spencer Dinwiddie averaging 17, 2 and 5. And then, how could I forget their young center, Jared Allen, the Fro Show. He's dunking, blocking. His stats might not say it all, but his defense. And he's also part of that spirit that lights the Nets out and Barclays. Trust me, they do go hard. And on my last topic of the first episode, my MVP. Number 3 MVP. Small forward for the number 2 team in the East, Kawhi Leonard. He is one of the candidates for Defensive Player of the Year, like he's always been. He's putting up career highs in points, 28. He's rebounding the ball, and he's getting two steals a game, 3.2 assists. The reason I don't have him ahead of another East player is because at this point in time, this East team is above the Raptors. And this is how I go to my second. This might be hard to do, but Giannis Antetokounmpo is not my MVP pick. He is number 2 above Kawhi because his team is the number 1 team in the East and the number 1 team in the league by game and a half or a game. So, Giannis putting up similar numbers better numbers by a little bit, 27, 12, and 6, 13 and 6, actually. But the difference between this team is Giannis is winning. And I said earlier that Nick Nurse and Mike Malone were probably going to be my coach of the years. But I don't know what I was thinking then. I totally forgot who I think will win it, Mike Budenholzer. This is nothing to take away from Giannis' MVP, but his idea that was actually taken by Mike D'Antoni, you have Giannis drive and kick it out. And also, this is when I applaud Brook Lopez for his outstanding 3-point shooting. But Giannis is my number 2 pick. He could go to number 1. It's very tight between him and this number 1. You can't ignore it. People are like, Giannis. No, you cannot ignore what's happening in Northern Texas, or in Central Texas, I'm not sure, in Houston, in the Toyota Center, James Harden. If he keeps up what he's doing of averaging points, he'll be the first person since Kobe, the greatest player, offensive player since Michael Jordan, of averaging 35 points a game. He right now is averaging 36.3, 8 assists, and 6 rebounds. 6.6, so 7. I'd say 7 rebounds. And 2 assists per game, 2 steals per game. The fact that James Harden is willing to play defense now is why he is is part of the fact that he is number one. But his, people say, people hate James Harden because they say he breaks the rules and he travels all the time. Yes, that double step back against the Jazz definitely was a travel, but everything else he does, people just have to get used to it. The refs aren't going to call it. It's clearly not a travel, and you have to get used to it. They hate his game because also because it's slow, and they think he ball. He's probably a ball. They say he's a ball hog, which he probably is. But this team would not be doing it without James Harden. This team, the Rockets, just like the Spurs and the Jazz, they were down. People were thought that the Rockets would legitimately not make the playoffs. Then Chris Paul and then they start winning some games. Chris Paul goes down. Clint Capella goes down. And then James Harden starts this insane surge of 30 or more, like 4 or 5 50-point games. And I forgot to congratulate the Nets. So they beat James Harden when he scored 58. And then dropped 61 versus the Knicks. Everyone knew that was coming. And that game was going to happen in MSG. And he's actually the person who scored the most points as an away team in MSG. So that's how we wrap it off on the first episode of Swish It Edition with Caleb. I'll see you next time. Signing off, Caleb Eden.